They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed that we might be unified in his truth, standing firm in the faith and strong in his word. In a world questioning the credibility of God's word, Christ's prayer is for his church to stand firm in unity and his word. This is The Answers Conversation, and I'm your host, Steve Hamm. We'll be answering the skeptical questions of our time, standing firm on the authority of God's word, and rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, again with us this week, it's our pleasure to have Tim Chafee. Tim Chafee looks after the content of the Ark Encounter, a project that Answers in Genesis is doing, building a full-scale replica of Noah's Ark, just around about 40 minutes away from where the museum here is in northern Kentucky. And we are really excited about this project, the project of the Ark Encounter.
Yeah, and if anybody's wondering what Steve is talking about, if you don't have that Australian accent, it's Ark Encounter, not an Ark Encounter.
I'm sorry. I'll use my Kentucky voice. The Ark Encounter, okay? Yeah.
Now people will get it.
Sorry for the listeners. That was absolutely hopeless.
You just want to make sure you go to the right website.
Yes, that's arkencounter.com. Arkencounter.com. Okay. So, and it really is an exciting project because it's a project pointing people to what, not just a big boat, but the fact that God is faithful in both judgment and salvation. We want people to see why it is important to actually link what happened with the ark to what is happening with the gospel of Jesus Christ and why that is so important, right?
That's exactly right. That's really the goal of the Ark Encounter is not to just show people a big boat and not to just say, look, this account in Scripture can be trusted because we can show you how Noah could have fit all the animals in the ark. Those things are important, and it's going to be amazing just to see that structure. But really, we want people to be reminded of the judgment that took place there because of man's wickedness and that God will not withhold judgment forever. Someday he will judge this world again, this time by fire, and he has provided a way out, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
And we completely deserve it. We completely deserve it. But by God's grace, he has stepped into history. That is just so amazing. That he would build an ark, that he would keep a family, keep a remnant so that we can repopulate the world to Jesus Christ stepping into history and dying for us. It is an amazing message of love, of grace, of forgiveness and mercy, but we must not forget that it also points us to that day that there will be a day of judgment.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right.
Okay, so let's talk about what people are going to... We've had a lot of questions come in about the Ark Encounter, and these questions, some of them, you know, we might look at them and a little bit of a smirk comes on our face every now and again when we get some of these questions about this project. And mm-hmm. So I thought today we'd just talk about the project in general and some of the questions that come around it. You know, one of the things that people want to know about when they walk in the Ark is, tell me, what did Noah do with all of the animal manure?
Yeah, that is one that has come up in more than one meeting, I can tell you that. It comes up quite a bit. You know, back in the 1990s, John Woodmorappy published a book, Noah's Ark, a Feasibility Study, where he went through all of these different scenarios, all of these, just about anything you could think of, any difficulty Noah might have taking care of the animals. How could he provide for them? How could they have enough oxygen? How could he take care of the waste? And he showed that just using, I think it was 18th century farming technologies, this could have been done. There's different ways you can build the cages where the waste or the manure would slide down into these little slots, and it would be easier for people to take care of. So there are mechanisms in place for that, and that is something that we have talked about and showing how that can be done.
So there's a number of different, but they're models, aren't they?
They're models.
Yeah, because obviously the biblical text doesn't give us that explicit information.
Right, and short of finding the actual ark itself to mm-hmm. see what happened, we really don't know for sure. But yeah, there are options, and if we remember that there weren't as many animals as so many people try to claim. You know, mm-hmm. they try to say there were tens of thousands or millions of animals. There weren't that many. There were just a few thousand, so it wouldn't have been as huge of a job as people want to make it seem.
Yeah. And, you know, just to remind our listeners, if you come to the ARC Encounter, we're gonna talk about some of those models. We're going to show you maybe some of those models, but we might not be showing them from the animals in person. We're going to be nice to your noses.
That's right. Otherwise, we can get that guy from Dirty Job to come in and do it. Maybe he'd want to show us how we could do that. But
okay, so, you know, here's another question. One of the tags of the ARC Encounter is that it's larger than life, ARC Encounter, larger than life. And we've had someone really come in and say, hey, you know what, why are you using this? Why would you build it bigger than what it actually was and that sort of thing? Is that right?
Yeah, there are people who have genuine concerns, and then there are other people who just want to attack and criticize. So we get the skeptics who want to mock it and make fun of it. And then we get concerned people, you know, who are asking questions like that. And I think what they don't understand is that we are, you know, when you say larger than life, it's not meant to be taken in a strictly literal fashion that, hey, we're building this bigger than it ever, than what the real one was. No, what we're saying is it's bigger than what you normally experience in our world today. You've never seen anything like this. And, mm-hmm. and so get ready to just be amazed at how big this thing really was.
And we are trying to be true to the biblical proportions of the ark. And in saying that, there's a little bit of a difficulty too, because some people know that there is a difference between, for instance, a long and a short cubit. Which one are we using and why?
Yeah, we'll be using one of the longer cubits. In fact, if you look at the ancient Near Eastern cultures around there, you know, with Babylon or with Egypt and all these different places, they had different length cubits. But what we see is that there were standardized ones that were much longer than what the common cubit's, the 18-inch one. Mm-hmm. And they went down as far as like 17.5 all the way up to somewhere in the 20s, lower 20s. But the one we're going to be using is, I think it's 20.6 or something like that. And so the ark itself will be about 510 feet long. And the reason, there's a couple of reasons for that. One, there's a verse in Deuteronomy 3:11 where Moses is talking about how the Israelites had killed King Og. He was the remnant of the Rephaim. And it talks about his bedstead being 9 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. So apparently this is just a very large man. But it says, according to the common cubit. And he specifies in that one place, here we're using the common cubit. Does that mean the rest of the time that it's being talked about where he mentioned cubits that he's using a different cubit? Mm-hmm. And if another clue to that is if you look at a lot of these ancient structures that were built, they were built on this very similar scale of one of these longer cubits. Mm-hmm. And it seems like they all got that idea from one place. Well, the most natural place would be that they go back to a major construction project that they all would have known about, and that would be Noah's Ark.
Yeah. So while we can't be absolutely dogmatic about that, it is in a way what you might call a sanctified guess.
That's right. Well, if we were going to use your cubit, the ark would be a lot shorter than if we were to use mine. And mine is, I'm a tall man, so mine is like 22 inches. Mm. So it's we can't be sure, like you said, but we can make educated guesses about it.
Okay. Well, if somebody comes to the ARC Encounter, let me ask, what will a visit look like? What are they going to see?
Well, I think a lot of people have a misunderstanding of what the ARC Encounter will be. A lot of people think we're going to try to build an exact replica of what Noah's Ark would have looked like on day one of the flood. So each bay will show all the different animals, and that will have every kind of animal represented. That isn't the purpose of the ARC Encounter. What we're going to see is, as you go in, you're going to be told this, I hate to use the word story here, but this backstory leading up to the ark itself, to the flood itself. And so you're going to see some of the pre-flood things talked about in Scripture. Then when you get into the ark, you're going to see Noah and his family just before the flood hits, and you're going to learn about animal kinds. And so there's going to be a lot of teaching on that on the first floor. But as you get up to the second floor, it's going to be more about teaching about the different mechanisms they could have used for taking care of the animals, how they could have disposed of the waste, how they could have fed the animals, how they could have prepared the food for the animals. So all sorts of different technologies that they may have had access to. And then the third floor is going to be more of towards the end of the flood and what happened immediately after the flood. And there's also going to be a restaurant up there. The ark itself, obviously, is going to need to have more than 8 bathrooms, which maybe the no one in his family at the most would have needed.
Now, look, that's a good point because, you know, let's we need to have some common sense here. We're going to want to show people and we want to bring visitors in. This is not the ark. We are not expecting a flood. In fact, we know that God's next judgment is going to be by fire. So this is, you know, we're not building an ark for that reason, but we are building it for the reason of educating people, of showing people. They're going to be astounded by the very size of it to start with, right?
Oh, that's exactly right. And, you know, we're going to estimates show that we need to have anywhere between 10 to 20,000 people going through there in a day.
Yeah.
Noah didn't build the original ark for that many people to be walking through touring it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to have wider hallways than what he might have had. And so there's so many differences. It's not going to be our best guess as to what the ark really was in every single instance. But using the exact same dimensions given in Scripture, building it with 3 decks and showing how this could have been done.
Yeah, but the exhibits are going to show that.
Yes. Yeah, that's really the point of a lot of these.
Okay. Well, then people are going to walk in and they're going to see the answers in Genesis Ark. And by the way, I just want to put this in. I have been to that property and walked around. It is one of the most beautiful properties I have walked on. The hills are magnificent. The trees are magnificent. And when you walk to the area that the ark is going to be built on and you just see it and the top of the hill, it's just going to look magnificent. This is going to be something that you are going to want to come to and bring your family and friends to.
Yeah, I would agree. In fact, you can see pictures of that land on the arkencounter.com website. We did a blog post just a couple weeks ago that had several pictures showing from one end of the ark to the other. In fact, you can't even see the other end of the ark because there's just a slight rise in the ground there. And if you're standing on one end, you can't see the others. It's so big.
Mm.
And it's really hard to wrap your mind around the fact that there will be a 5-story building there in a few years, Lord willing.
Yeah, that is really cool. Well, then they're going to come and they're going to see that, but they're going to see an ark. And it's going to have like a keel at the bottom and a sail at the top. And this is one of the other questions we get. Well, why do you have a sail and a keel? That's not in Scripture.
Yeah, that's actually one of the most common ones. And again, a lot of times that's coming from concerned supporters who, you know, we've grown up with this idea of a box-shaped ark. And so many people have seen that in children's books. We've seen that all over the place, which is far better than the bathtub arks that we see with the giraffe's head sticking out and barely fitting on there. But
the
Bible doesn't say it was just this big box. It just gives us the dimensions.
Right.
And so as long as we're faithful to use those dimensions, Noah could have used all sorts of ingenuity, all sorts of, you know, maybe he was a shipbuilder. Maybe he hired a shipbuilder. Maybe all sorts of techniques they may have known in order to do that. And so the purpose of the sail and this stern projection, the sail is really a bow fin is what we call it, and then a stern projection is to turn the ark away from the waves so that it's not being capsized, but it will actually turn right into the waves each time. It's not for steering purposes. It's not like they were trying to guide the ship into one way. It was just to keep it safe in the waves.
Mm. And we're using a construction company to do it. So, I mean, why are you using a construction company and not a 900-year-old man?
Yeah, that's one of the more skeptical questions we got. Noah wasn't even 900 when they built the ark. He finished when he was 600.
And, right.
So they misread the Bible there anyways. But, again, the purpose
of our CEO is about that. He's in charge of the ark building. He's about that age, right?
That was Steve Hamm that said that, not Tim Chief. his much younger brother said that. We can't duplicate everything that they did, and that's not even our point. The point is to show that this could have been done, and to remind people about the terrible consequences of sin and God's provision in the midst of that, and He has provided a way out of the coming judgment.
Yeah, great. Well, let me just ask one last question. We're going to go for some wood, right?
That's right.
So is that what we're using, gopher wood?
We don't know because we don't know what kind of wood gopher wood was. Gopher is actually what we call a hapax legomena, where it's a word that appears one time in Scripture. It could have referred to a certain kind of wood, maybe the way that the wood was treated. There's all sorts of things. Some Bibles say cypress wood, but that's really the translator's best guess as to what may have been available to Noah. But they're basing that based on the post-flood world and saying, well, here's what's in that region now. It could have been entirely different. For me, I like to think maybe redwood, but that's a complete guess. We don't know what it was, but what we do know is that it was sufficient for the purposes, and God provided what Noah would need, or at least there would be he had everything he needed.
And again, we have to abide by guidelines. I mean, we're going to use different wood for different uses in the ark, and that's what we have to do. So, yeah. But wonderful answers are going to be given at the Ark Encounter. If you haven't seen this project yet, you haven't had a good look at it, I would really ask you, go on and have a look at this on the website, arkencounter.com. Did I say it okay?
Yeah, that was better.
Thank you. arkencounter.com. And what a great project. And we're thanking God for the opportunity of doing this. Thank you, Tim, for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
If you want answers on this or any other subject, visit answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.